baby right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Mega Football Friday edition of Before You Bet Air Live. Right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. So my first live show from the new digs here in my new basement studio. Still a work in progress. I got to get some stuff up on the walls. Might be a little bit more of an echo than you're accustomed to. Hopefully that does not ruin the viewing experience for you. But like I said, it is a work in progress, and we are going to be attacking the weekend slate here. It is a busy weekend in the world of football, an avalanche of bowl games, one kicking off right now. We got three NFL games on Saturday, the avalanche of games on Sunday in the NFL. Brad Powers is going to be by in a matter of seconds. We're going to rip through all of these bowl games, rapid fire style, get his thoughts on those. Jingles will be here in the middle of the show as we go through our best bets for the weekend's NFL games. And John Mettler will be here in the third segment of this show, NBA, our best bets for tonight. Okay, before we get into it, before we bring Brad on, if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know, what do you like in the bowl games here today and tomorrow? What do you like in the NFL this week, and what do you like in the NBA? Let us know. We will read a few of the responses off throughout the course of the show. Okay, let's get into the action here. Let's go down to our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did. Long time no talk. Sorry that I couldn't make the Monday show, but it was a Merry Christmas. And, you know, obviously a lot to talk about as far as the bowls. So hopefully it can be even a merrier Christmas and a good start to the new year here in the next few days.
Indeed. Okay, let's go. So we haven't talked to you for a week. A lot has happened in the world of college football over the last week. We saw the first round college football games, you know, no surprise, everyone's complaining about them. But any big takeaways out of the first round games as we get ready to go into the second round games here next week?
Well, first off, everybody bitching about, the blowouts. I mean, have you not watched them over the last 10 years? I mean, the average margin of victory in the semifinals of a 4-team college football playoff was 17 points per game. What did you think was going to happen when you added more teams, more mediocre teams? And then on top of it, the better team is playing at home. So you add that into the fact, the electric atmosphere. So not overly surprised that the favorites came home. So I just think it's an overreaction. Everybody bitching on a 4-game sample size. I will say I was at one, two of the 4 games. Ohio State, if they play like that, they're the best team. They're going to win the national title. I still have my questions and doubts whether they can do that 4 games in a row. But if you're to tell me right now that's what we're getting, Ohio State's going to win the title. I will think one factor moving forward you got to pay attention to. Obviously, you're always paying attention to quarterback injuries. But be very aware of injuries and attrition at the line of scrimmage. It's a line of scrimmage sport. And when you're playing multiple big games week after week, I'll give you an example. Notre Dame's one of their best defensive tackles out for the rest of the playoffs. Attrition will become a factor as we move forward in these playoffs. And you can take advantage of it, in my opinion.
Indeed. Okay. Yes. A nice bounce back by Ohio State there. So let's just do this, Brad. Let's hit all these games rapid fire style. So you have strong opinions on some, you have leans on some, so you have really no opinion on the others, but let's touch on all of them. An avalanche of bowl games today and tomorrow. So let's go bowling here. One kicking off right now. Maybe some people looking to get a live bet in potentially. Oklahoma, they opened or closed as a 1.5-point favorite taking on Navy, total on the low end, 44. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Lean Oklahoma. I'll fade the big move. It's moved almost 10 points. I know Oklahoma's got a ton of opt-outs, but I just think defensively they have a majority of their starters still playing. I think they'll have a decent game plan to stop the option. So lean Oklahoma there.
Okay, no lean in this one. This is in the best bet category for you. Georgia Tech is favored by 3 over a feisty Vanderbilt team, total 49.5. You like the underdog in this one.
I do. So you mentioned feisty. They have been feisty, particularly as an underdog this year. Vanderbilt 7-2 is a dog with 4 outright upsets. They have not been in a bowl game in several years. I don't have to question their motivation. They will be motivated today to get a bowl victory. I got a question. The ACC, the conference that Georgia Tech plays in, the ACC right now is 0-4 straight up, 0-4 against the spread. So a lot of results possibly for Georgia Tech putting them in the overrated category. And then, you know, matchup wise, Georgia Tech's the one team with the more opt-outs than Vanderbilt, especially a wide receiver. So add those three together. Best bet, Vanderbilt plus three.
Next up, we have Texas Tech, favored by 2.5, taking on Arkansas, total of 52.5. Any thoughts on this one?
I'm going to lean over. This is another big move that I'm going to fade. The line, the totals moved more than a touchdown. I still think both teams are offensive driven. Texas Tech likes to run pace and tempo. I don't think it's that big of a downgrade to the backup. Last I checked, Arkansas still has their quarterback. So with Bobby Petrino calling the plays, I still think this is a relatively low total. So just a lean. This is a pizza bet over the total.
Okay, next up, we have a monster spread here. Syracuse is favored by 17.5. Well, not really a monster spread for college football. You see some much bigger ones during the regular season. But they're taking on Washington State. Total, kind of on the high end, 59.5. Any thoughts on this one?
Been a big move, but you mentioned it. Hey, you know, oh, it seems like a big spread, but it's a bowl game. But relative to, you know, your average college football game, we see spreads like this all the time. And here's the thing. Washington State is, as far as opt-outs, as far as not having your coaches, is in worse shape as any team we've seen in bowl games the last 3 years. No head coach, no OC, no DC, no quarterback, 30 players in the transfer portal. They're missing 13 starters. If you had all that information in a regular season game, would you be afraid to lay a big number? No, you wouldn't. Syracuse, everybody's locked in. They have, I think, one starter is it that's opted out. They're looking to get the 10 wins here. I'm not afraid of playing in the line move here. There's only way I could bet it, and that's Syracuse. Let's go ahead and lean the orange.
Okay, the nightcap tonight. Maybe a bit of a tell based on the cap that you're wearing there, Brad. Texas A&M is favored by 4, taking on USC, total 52.5. How do you think this one breaks down?
Yeah, I don't have a bet on this one. And just because it's on doesn't mean you got to bet it. I think if both teams were optimal, but you know, it would be one of the better non-playoff games. But USC's very limited at wide receiver, A&M at the defensive line, no bet. I guess if you had to, anything above 3, I guess I'll lean on SC.
Okay, on to tomorrow. Tomorrow is a great day in the world of football, whether it be there's 3 NFL games too. Some of them are half decent. And an avalanche of bowl games, so let's keep rolling here. Rapid fire style. UConn versus North Carolina. Tar Heels favored by 2.5, total 52.5. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I think Connecticut was the right side, but the lines moved too much. Threw a key number 3, pass. And again, ACC struggling in bowl games.
Okay, Boston College, Nebraska. Nebraska favored by 4, total on the lowest end, 45.5. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I lean BC. Nebraska's got way more players opting out as far as the portal and starters, plus their DC is missing. You don't think a DC is important? Look at Rutgers' defensive performance without their DC last night. So lean BC for me, plus 4.
Okay, the buzzsaw of bowl games continues. Louisiana, TCU, favored by 11, total 58.5. Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, you mentioned a buzzsaw, and I know you like nuggets. This is the 8 bowl games tomorrow. That's the most of any day in 30 years as far as bowl games. We haven't had 8 bowl games in a day since January 1st, 1994. As far as this game goes, it all comes down to the availability of ULL's quarterback. A lot of line movement right before we did this show is telling me that the quarterback for ULL might play here. So just a lean on under 59, it'd probably be a better bet if I knew he wasn't going to play.
Okay, Iowa State taking on a Miami team. Obviously a disappointing final month of their season, I guess you could say. Miami favored by 3.5, total of 57. You think Miami can take care of business here?
I have my doubts. Motivation-wise, I mean, you're going to be in the playoffs. You lose that game to Syracuse at the end, you're out of the playoffs. This line is saying that Cam Moore is going to play, but I think there's a greater than 0% chance. Okay, he plays, but does he play the whole game? I have my doubts on that. So because of that, Iowa State plus 3.5 for me.
Okay, this next one, I believe this one is the Snoop Dogg-sponsored game. Yeah. Miami, Ohio versus Colorado State. Colorado State favored or is a 2.5-point dog, total on the low end, 40.5. And I've said this before on the show, when you involve Snoop Dogg in your marketing, I believe that is like the lowest form of originality in marketing at this point, when a bunch of people get in a room, hey, let's get Snoop Dogg involved. Can you be a little bit more creative? Anyhow, any thoughts on the Snoop Dogg game with low total here?
Yeah, I think Colorado State was the right side, but again, threw a key number with a low total. It was 3.5, three, now 2.5 pass now. I think it's a better game to be sipping on some gin and juice instead of betting.
Yes. Snoop Doggy Dog, doggy style. Great album. East Carolina, NC State favorite by 6, total 58.5. Anything to bet in this one?
You know, I sent over the notes and I said pass, but looks like East Carolina is going to be missing some players here. Just getting reported some more players than what we originally thought in the last hour. I think if you can get that NC State at -7 or less, this line's going to be going up tomorrow from what I've heard.
Okay, next up, BYU versus Colorado, who's favored by 3.5, total 54.5. Any thoughts? The two big dogs playing for Colorado at all in this one, or are they expected to sit?
They're playing. The line says that they're playing again. I think there's a greater than 0% chance that, okay, they play, but do they play the whole game? Do they go all out in the game? I got my doubts. I would tell you this. If I saw BYU fit, an underdog of 3.5 or more in the regular season, I'd be betting it. And now you add in the fact that I'm not sure that Shadur and Travis Hunter are going to be playing the whole game. You got a best bet here. BYU, anything, you know, 3 or more is good for a best bet.
Okay, last but not least, and then a best bet to add. Louisiana Tech is taking on Army, who's favored by 16. Low total for a big spread here. So Army favored by 16, total 43.5. Any thoughts on this one?
So I already gave this out like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I got a bad bet here. This happens in both seasons. You would think Army wouldn't have opt-outs. The most key player that's opted out of this game is Army's running back. He's leaving for Arizona State, that 1,000-yard rusher. That hurts. Louisiana Tech, I thought, would have a ton of opt-outs. Remember, their season was supposed to be over. They're a bowl fill-in for Marshall in this game. They've had minimal opt-outs, so I guessed wrong on this one. However, at 14, current number or less, I'm still on Army here. I don't trust Louisiana Tech. I think they get grounded in oblivion in the second half against Army's rush attack. So Army for me, best bet.
Okay, Brad, let's wrap things up with a best bet. This game taking place on January 4th. So let's try to get ahead of some line movement here. You like Buffalo. They're favored by 2 over Liberty.
Best bet, Buffalo -2. We're going to try to get in front of a line move. I think Buffalo closes 3 or higher in this one. Liberty's got a ton of guys opting out already. And their head, don't believe me, listen to their head coach, says there's probably more to come for them. So this could be one of the more decimated teams in bowl games, bowl season for this year. Buffalo, meanwhile, obviously playing, you know, in the MAC's not great, but Buffalo's got a first-year coach, highly motivated. They exceeded expectations. They're excited to be there and only got a couple players total in the transfer portal out of their whole team. So let's lay it with Buffalo and again, getting in front of a key line move here. I think they close 3.
Okay, Brad, let's end things at that. You're going to be right back with us. So on Monday, of course, we're going to be getting your analysis for all these second round playoff games, a few more bowl games of note too, maybe a best bet or two to add. So until then, enjoy the bowl action here this weekend. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you on Monday.
See you guys Monday.
Yes, sir. All right, the man right there. Okay, so from college to the pros, let's bring in the man with the sexiest smile and all of sports betting, our guy, Jingles. Jingles, how you making out? Did you enjoy the 6-3 Thursday night football game last night?
I fell asleep 6-3 in the third quarter and woke up, and it was still 6-3, and the game was over. So, no, I dug into some World War II documentaries. That's the excitement of that game offering. That's where it put me to, where that was more exciting than what was on the field.
Yeah, I got into a documentary on Amazon. It's called Chiefsaholic. It's about this Chiefs fan who was going around robbing banks. Have you heard of this story? I kind of vaguely.
Yes, I've heard of it. I don't really know the details on it, but yeah, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, there's a documentary out on it on Amazon. I highly recommend it. It is it's very entertaining. So before we get into the picks here, Caleb Williams. You know, I think everyone kind of agrees that he has the potential, and you don't want to go too crazy with calling people a bust. You know how I feel about this. We need to give the young quarterbacks more time to develop. But at the same time, I think he needs to be held to a little bit of a different standard here. He came into the league with all the hype in the world. Where would you rank the top 3 quarterbacks if you were doing a redraft right now? Daniels, May, and Williams, how would you draft them today?
I heard you on the radio at 10:50 doing the exact same impression that I would have done too. He's number three. And I think if we saw more Penix, right, maybe it might be even further down the list. But what we've seen, it's just been so awful. But a lot of it is on to like the offense and what they've put together, because scripted wise, this is the worst offense. I put a tweet out yesterday saying how bad Chicago's been in the first 15 minutes and in the first half. It's been atrocious what their first 25, 30 plays have been. And you saw it again. It's nothing, absolutely nothing works with that offense. And it's not like they don't have pieces. They have a ton of talent. Like, are they using Swift properly? No, his receiving total was at like 14 and a half yesterday, which was insane for a team that would probably be playing from behind. I don't like anything about it. And I think a lot of his garbage time stats playing from behind have padded what his actual numbers are. So there's Bears fans who say, well, there's no difference between him and Bo Nix. And you're like, well, yeah, there kind of is. And whether or not you want to say Bo Nix has that defense, I don't think he does either. And you're on that same page where I don't think Denver's defense is very good.
Yeah, more on that here momentarily. Yeah, a lot of garbage time for Caleb Williams. Garbage time tends to come early for him. It wasn't early last night. 6-3 game. Thank God. That's no more Thursday night football until next season. That was the last Thursday nighter of the season. And I'm just completely off this week, because usually these days between Christmas and New Year's are weird enough. But the fact that we had NFL games on a Wednesday, so we're kind of in the middle of week 17 here. So yeah. Yeah, it is Friday going into a weekend though. Okay, so let's get into the action. We have three Saturday games and then a bunch of games on Sunday per usual. I'm going to get us started with a good old-fashioned asshole parlay. If you don't know what this is, you take three favorites or more if you want, usually two or three, and you put them on a money line parlay. So spreads don't matter. And the reason it's called an asshole parlay is because if one of the legs loses, you feel like an asshole. I had one on Christmas Day. The Boston Celtics lost outright, and I felt like an asshole. So hopefully we can right that wrong with this one. So Chargers and Rams on Saturday, plus the Bucks on Sunday. The Chargers are in New England taking on the Patriots. It's rare that they play down to the competition. They're 8-2 ATS as a favorite this season. Massive coaching advantage as well. On to the Rams, who are absolute dynamite here in these games in December. Check out this trend. You might laugh about it, but they're 15-2 against the spread in their last 17 games played in the month of December. Sean McVay finishes strong. Also really good in divisional games at 10-2 ATS. Arizona's defense is 31st in yards allowed per play over their last three games. Rams are a much healthier team coming into this one. Then on to the game on Sunday, Bucks over Panthers. The Bucks are 5-1 ATS after a loss this season. So they tend to respond after a bad performance. And that was a sloppy one by them last Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys. Significant offensive edge for Tampa in this one. So we'll take those three teams, slap their money lines together, plus 138 for an asshole parlay. Okay, Jingles, Prop City, one of these Saturday games. Antonio Gibson, what do you like for him?
I like the fact that Jerod Mayo's talking about it could be his start after Ramondre Stevenson's turnovers last week. Stevenson's totals at 11.5 for this carries, where Gibson's at 7.5. And if he starts, this is going to be a really good number. Obviously, it's not the best in terms of where we are for a spread as a 4.5-point dog and to keep that running game going. But as there are a lot of games on that East Coast, there's rain projected. And one other thing that I don't like about the Chargers running away with this game is the fact that they don't have a running game. And we've seen how bad this offense can look when they don't. Gus Edwards is out. J.K. Dobbins may be playing, but he just opened his practice window, so there's lots of issues. Vidal's been terrible. Haskins is not a guy that you want to run between the 20s. So this game could actually be a little more competitive than at first look, as we saw with New England last week. Projects for 8.84, and this is where I am. Over 7.5 carries, small number for Antonio Gibson for a team that might want to run, and he could have the number one starting job. We won't know until game time, so look for that to tick up.
Okay, guys, slightly over 1,400 live viewers watching now, the majority of those on X. If you're watching live right now, which, of course, you would be, drop your best bet of the week for the NFL into the live chat. Let us know what you like. Okay, on to I have two totals bets, and I like them both equally. I like them both a lot. Let's go to this game with the Broncos in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. I like over 49.5 for this one. Look at these high-scoring games here in Cincinnati. Their last six home games have averaged 63.5 combined points. Very high ceiling for scoring in Bengals games this season. They've had four games with 64 or more combined points. We have two really good red zone offenses here, third and seventh on the season. Now, Cincinnati's defense in the red zone is one of the worst in the NFL, 31st. They're also really bad on third down. And speaking of defense, Jingles touched on this off the top of the segment. I think Denver's defense is overrated. Now, you might dig into their stats and disagree based on what those stats say, but they've had a real cupcake schedule here for the most part, padding their defensive numbers against the Raiders, who they played twice, the Saints, the Panthers before they turned a bit of a corner. They played the Jets, of course, earlier in the season as well. When they have gone up against some good teams here lately, you go back a couple weeks, I guess, the Ravens dropped 41 on them in Baltimore. The Chargers last week got to 34. A couple weeks before that, the Browns got to 32. So I think another high-scoring one in Cincinnati. So give me over 49.5 for that one. Next up, back to Prop City. Breece Hall, what are we looking at?
Number one back versus an overrated Buffalo defense to score at plus 140, probably a bye to plus 110. Second game back from the injury last week, big workload. We're talking 79% snap share. Took 20 of 26 running back opportunities. And, of course, most important thing, had all three opportunities in the red zone. So look for Breece Hall to run versus a Buffalo defense that since week nine sits 26 in EPA per play. And they've allowed 20 points in each game of their last seven, except for the snow game in San Francisco, snow game versus San Francisco, where we saw San Francisco fumble on the 1 yard line. They could have easily got to the 20 point mark. That game was a little closer than the final box score shows, but they've given up points to everybody. That bend don't break situation where they let you go, and then they tighten up in the red zone. It's kind of a scary thing, especially this week without maybe both their safeties. But there's also a thing, shout out to producer Chris, who mentioned Devontae Adams TD and the 500 touchdown for Rodgers, who he'll be looking to get this week. Now, I assumed that it wouldn't be somewhere in the plus 180 mark. I was wrong. You can get Devontae Adams for a touchdown at plus 180. Rodgers sitting at 499 now. Adams has touchdowns number 200 and 400 from him. And just with a season that has nothing and such a cute couple in terms of Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't it just be on par and on brand for the Jets just to score that touchdown and lose by 14 and still be excited?
It's all about Aaron Rodgers, baby. Okay, let's speaking of pathetic New York teams, the Colts are playing the Giants, and I'm going to pick the Giants in the first half. I'm going to take the Colts to cover the first half number, -4.5, -112. And this is just flat out a big fat fade of the Giants. They are 0-8 against the spread in the first half at home this season. They've scored 10 total points in the first half across their last three home games. They're averaging a league-worst 4 first half points per game at home. Absolutely pathetic. So the Colts, I think they're really going to be able to exploit them on the ground. Indy running it really well lately. The Giants are 28th in yards per rush allowed. And I really do think you have to question, like, I pointed this out on the show before. I think the thought of like a lot of teams just tanking, I do think that's overrated. But if you need to pinpoint a couple teams, the Giants are an obvious candidate here. They're currently in possession of the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft here. A couple of their losses, they lost by 27 and 21 in their last two games. So I think their foot is firmly off the gas. The injury report does not look good for them either. So give me the Colts to cover the first half spread, -4.5. Okay, Jaden Daniels, what do you like for him?
I like that he's running now out of the bye, and he looks to be past the rib injury that kind of slowed him down and slowed down his absolute, like his carry percentage, his design run percentage. This is still a quarterback who is first in scramble yards, third in design runs, and fourth in design rush yards. We saw some two critical fumbles from Brian Robinson last week, so we could see even more designed runs. But since the bye, the most important thing, he's back to running as games are important and they've been able to keep him healthy. We got yards of 81 last week on 9 carries, 66 yards on 11 carries in New Orleans. The projection has him at about 60 yards, so this is a spot where maybe you can get him up to 60 for plus money. Eckler still on IR. McLaurin and Brown are both banged up. And another thing that consistently shows up on my prop bets, there's a lot of rain. There's a ton of rain, and that could just lead to one or two more carries in a spot where he's facing this Atlanta defense that has no pass rush. And I think when we talk about quarterback rushing props, we say, oh, that pass rush really draws him out of the pocket and he really has to run. No, when do you see guys run? You see guys run when they sit back, they have no pressure, their internal clock hits 3.5, 4 seconds, and that's when they take off. So I like this over 47.5 rushing yards, minus 110 versus Atlanta.
Okay, last but not least for the NFL section for me, it comes from the game of the week, Packers in Minnesota to take on the Vikings, and I absolutely love the over with the number sitting there at 48 points. So look at this Packers offense here lately, one of the best in the NFL over the last month and change, 30 or more points scored in 5 straight games for them. Speaking of elite offenses, Minnesota's offense is elite on their home field, top 5 in both points and yards per play on their home field. Speaking of overrated defenses, I think the Vikings defense a little bit overrated here, guys. They've had it really easy lately, but check them out. The past couple times that they've gone up against what would be considered good offenses, the Rams, Lions, and Packers all dropped 30 points on them this season. These teams did combine for 60 points when they met earlier in the season in Green Bay. So I love this. In the Dome, in Minnesota, controlled environment, over 48 points for that one. Jingles, bring it home for the NFL section. Jerome Ford, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, good running backs in the passing game with bad quarterback play, and DTR doesn't get much worse than that. Was the worst quarterback in week 16 by a country mile. The Cleveland running backs in that game, him and Pierre Strong, 7 receptions, accounted for 35% of DTR's completed passes. Now we're going to add in a game versus Miami where there's going to be rain. He won't be able to go deep. This is a spot where Ford went 5 for 5 last week, 39 yards, a long of 12, and he's coming off 131 total yards. So you know his role is going to be there. His competition in Pierre Strong isn't that big. So going to be playing from behind. It's going to be check down city. It's going to be the same situation that you see DeAndre Swift in, and this is projected for over 24 yards.
Let's go. Okay, that is it for the NFL segment of the show. Jingles, you're going to be right back with us on Monday's show, though, to recap what we saw over the weekend. And, of course, the Monday Night Football game that looked a lot better at the start of the season. Lions, 49ers. Now, you know, people are still going to want to sit down and check it out, obviously. So hopefully the Lions will have something to play for in that one. Dan Campbell says they're going for it no matter what, though, and I don't doubt him for a second when he says that. So best of luck with all your NFL and NHL stuff over the weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck with your bets.
Thank you, buddy. All right, let us shift gears now to the National Basketball Association, our third and final segment of the Friday show today. And if we're talking NBA, we are talking it with, is he there? The Magic Ass Man. There we go.
What's going on?
Chris brings him in. What's up, buddy? Did you enjoy the NBA Christmas Day action?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that the LeBron James, the Lakers-Warriors game was fantastic. LeBron James, Stephen Curry going head-to-head, and I think we all know there's not too many of those left. I mean, Celtics, NBC, all the games were good. The Knicks, Spurs, all. I thought every game on the Christmas Day slate was pretty awesome, so the NFL needs to get out here.
It was. I heard Bill Simmons on his podcast made a pretty good point. He says it's a good thing, but it's also a problem for the NBA. Whereas, okay, like this game took center stage, the Lakers and Warriors, basically two 500 teams, with the two biggest stars being one guy who's 40 and what's Steph Curry, like 36 years old. He said, you know, it's good, like, you know, that these guys, you know, still take command on that stage, but it's also a bit of a negative thing where, you know, the guys like that you would like to be on the come up, the Anthony Edwards and the Wemby, aren't getting the same attention. You know what I mean? So you can look at it as like a glass half full, glass half empty situation. But overall, it was a good day for the NBA. Because, and I found it a little weird because the week before, everyone's just talking about, hey, the ratings are going down the tubes here. And then all of a sudden, the best day or the best Christmas day in what was it, 5 years, I think they said.
Yeah, they had their highest ratings in 5 years. So, and you're talking about Wembanyama. I think he's going to be playing on Christmas Day for several years in a row, especially after what he did at, in Madison Square Garden. They're kind of dealt a bad hand. I think the Anthony Edwards-Luka Doncic battle could have been pretty epic, but Luka Doncic got injured and left that game. And it was actually ended up being a pretty good game at the end. It was a blowout for a little bit, but I think that was one. You're kind of like setting up that next kind of wave of, you know, generation players there with a little robbery, and then we got the injury, so that kind of was too bad for them.
You know, it makes me think, like, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Michael Jordan was out of the league and they were so desperate to crown the next MJ. Is it Allen Iverson? Is it Vince Carter? Eventually, Kobe kind of did feel those shoes. He wasn't as likable, I don't think, though. And, you know, he had some issues off the court. I think people know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, the NBA, I don't know if they're going to run into the same issues because, like, a big talking point is, like, a lot of the big stars in the NBA right now are international guys, Giannis, Wemby, Jokic, Luka, and some of them don't resonate the same way that an American player does within the sports being played in America, right? And it's kind of funny. I was thinking about the LeBron and Steph Curry thing, and they're going to get all the eyeballs, even though they're still really good, but probably obviously past the peak of their power. It kind of reminds me of like wrestling. And the old wrestlers come back and everyone goes nuts about like The Rock and Stone Cold and stuff like that. It kind of reminded me of that in a way. But I think, you know, the NBA, they're never going to be a shortage of star power. So I think they're just kind of wait. And Wemby, I think, is probably going to be that guy. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Would he be your vote as well for the guy to kind of take that torch after KD and Steph and LeBron call or quits?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple guys. I like the ratings thing too. I you know, the flip of that argument, kind of what you're talking about, is when people are, maybe there's not like the American stars like there once were, so maybe the ratings are down a little bit in the USA type thing. But when you're talking about worldwide, I think the Olympic basketball was the most watched Olympic basketball they've ever had. And you're talking about, you know, ratings in Canada, like everyone wants to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Then you go to Europe, people want to watch Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic. Like they're obsessed with these guys. And, you know, Victor Wembanyama is like the next thing too. Like, so in terms of like globally, I don't think basketball is in a bad spot at all. I think maybe USA, maybe the ratings are down a little bit in the USA, but like worldwide, I think basketball is booming. So I was kind of annoyed. I thought, you know, the Thunder were top team in the West last year, SGA's in the NBA. He kind of, we're Canadian, so a little biased, but they should have been playing on Christmas Day for sure. SGA should have been there.
Yeah, the international thing, I think the NBA would be, they're usually really good with their marketing. I think they'd be wise to lean into that a lot more, maybe playing more regular season games internationally. I know they do a handful now, not to the extent that the NFL does. But yeah, there's a couple teams people are saying, why aren't the Bucks playing here on Christmas Day? And I was thinking like, okay, well, who do you kick out? You know, going into the season, obviously, you're going to put the Timberwolves. I know they've had a down season. Do you want to kick the Spurs out? No, because you want to kind of put Wemby out there and promote him. So I don't know who you'd kick out at this point. You know what I mean? So, and
did you see the Bucks yesterday, how their game ended? Where they sent Ben Simmons behind the three-point line. If there was one player in the entire NBA you would not double with the game winding down, who's going to shoot a three-pointer? It would be Ben Simmons, and they doubled Ben Simmons and he kicked it to Cam Johnson, who's a 40% 3-point shooter, and he drained it. It was like the craziest.
Oh boy.
I don't know. They're explaining what happened with the defensive coverage after, but we were just giving Doc Rivers credit for like winning the NBA Cup, doing a good coaching job. And you see something like that and you're like, oh, he just can't get away from it. But that was crazy. And there's a bunch of crazy endings. The Sacramento Kings, they're in trouble. I think De'Aaron Fox made the move, but we can talk about that a different day.
Yeah. The Aaron Fox, the San Antonio Spurs. That would be the move right there. Okay. Let's get into it here, John. We have five picks between the two of us. You have three props. I have a spread and a total. You get us started. Cam Johnson, what do you like for him?
Yeah, I just talked about Cam Johnson hitting that shot yesterday. So I went Cam Johnson under 4.5 assists. I grabbed this at -115. When we made the graphics, -130. It's now like -160. You're even seeing some -200. -200 is basically what I had this priced at. So I wouldn't bet it to that point. There is a 3.5, like plus 125 out there. That's significantly better than going to lay a 4.5, like minus 180. So I'd actually go for the lower number now. I just don't think Cam Johnson is a guy who we should be trading at 4.5 assists. And obviously the market's showing us that really fast today. All the lines were moving pretty quick. And you're the Nets. The Nets aren't necessarily trying to win games. Jordy Fernandez is doing a really good job coaching them, but they just took out the Bucks yesterday. Very competitive game. He played a lot of minutes. And now you're on the second night of a back-to-back for a team that doesn't necessarily want to win games. So I just don't know where his minutes would be. And when you had a big edge on this with his minutes up like 36, 37, like that's a lot for Cam Johnson. That's a lot of minutes. So that was kind of drawing me to it. And then you also just think like he kind of lacks players who can convert potential assists for him. Nick Claxton is kind of someone who can finish around the rim. But today you're playing the Spurs and you're playing Victor Wembanyama, who just blocks every single shot. So not only do I think this total is too high, but like the matchup kind of plays into a spot where I just don't know if he can convert the potential assists because he doesn't have many of them against Wembanyama. So give me the under. If you're looking at now, though, I'd go 3.5 plus like plus 120 or longer. That's the number I'd be looking at.
Okay, first up for me, I like the Grizzlies to cover minus 9. Fresh off scoring 155 points last night, a season high in the NBA. I like them to keep on rolling here against the Pelicans, who are looking like one of the worst teams in the NBA here lately. Check out the last five games for each of these teams. Second versus 30th in net rating. Expect the Grizzlies to have a big advantage from three-point land. They're number one in three-point percentage over the last five games. The Pelicans, 26 in opponent three-point percentage. Now, when the Grizzlies win, they tend to win big. They have their last five wins have all come by 16 or more points. When the Pelicans lose, it tends to be ugly. Their average loss has come by 15 points. That's one of the worst marks in the NBA. And it is the second game of a back-to-back for both of these teams. Memphis has been money in the second game of back-to-backs. 4-0 ATS, three of the wins by 13 or more. Three losses by 12 or more in the second game of the back-to-back for the Dinky Pelicans. A franchise that is going down the tubes. We will take the Grizzlies to win by double digits in that one. Okay, Jalen Green, the Rockets playing host to the T-Wolves. I liked the under yesterday. The number moved too much, though, so stay away from me. But you have a bet on Jalen Green that you like.
Yeah, I see Bobby saying Grizz had 13 players in double figures. Shout out to the Raptors for keeping them under 160 points yesterday. But my bet is Jalen Green over 2.5 assists. This has kind of been a prop I've been eyeing with Jalen Green the last, like, I'd say the last five or six games he's played in, because you keep seeing this. I keep seeing this 2.5 number, and you're like, oh, like for a guy who is on the ball and run and his usage is as high as it is, you know, that's not a big total. He's just a chucker. He just doesn't pass. So that's kind of why it is. But like it was consistently kind of trading about like minus 110 and then like plus 105, and you're like kind of interested. Well, today it's plus 140. And plus 140, I am definitely playing this at plus 140. So yesterday in the front end of their back-to-back, Dylan Brooks was out, Tari Eason was out. We don't really know if they're playing today. I feel like Dylan Brooks might be playing on the back end of this. But if they're both out, it's just from a minute standpoint, like you just have less options to go to, right, as for sub. So I don't need those minutes, but it just you always like to take on scenarios where there might be opportunity for more minutes, and there's a chance that there's more minutes for Jalen Green tonight. And then just with the matchup with the Timberwolves, someone's got to create offense. And I just feel like Jalen Green's someone who's not afraid. He doesn't really care if the Timberwolves defense is one of the top defenses in the NBA. That doesn't bother him. He's going to get the ball, get in the lane. But I also, at the same time, I feel like, you know, they're going to be able to collapse on him and at least contain him enough that he'll be forced to pass. So it's kind of like that weird thing where it's like, I feel like he'll be aggressive enough and not be afraid of their defense. But at the same time, their defense is good enough that we could stop him from shooting. And maybe he makes a couple extra more passes. So either way, I think that number's just plus 140. I mean, for someone who dribbles the ball as much as he does, give me the over 2.5 on Jalen Green.
Okay. Last but not least for me. And then one more for John. Not that great looking of a game anymore because Luka and Devin Booker aren't playing, but I think a beautiful looking bet to take the over in this game with the number sitting there at 223.5. Now you might say, Joe, what are you doing? Luka's not playing. You really want to go over? Well, he's missed eight games this season, and five of those games, the Mavs scored 118 or more, so I'm not overly concerned about that. When the Mavs do go on the road, their games are averaging 238.4 combined points. 11 of the 15 road games for Dallas have gone over. this season. You look at the defense from these teams lately, has been god-awful. 20th and 26th in defensive rating over the last 10 games. Really good on the offensive end, though. 2nd and 6th in offensive rating in that 10-game sample size. And I think this is a great situational betting spot here for Dallas to take the over based on some of their recent opponents. They've been playing a lot of under-friendly opponents lately. Allow me to explain. 3 of their last 4 games have come against the T-Wolves and the Clippers, who they played twice. 3 of those 4 games, or all 3 of those games, did end up going under. And what I mean by under-friendly teams, the T-Wolves and Clippers playing some very low-scoring games. That's not the case here for the Phoenix Suns, so potentially a little bit of a discount here on this number. It was 10 points higher when they met earlier in the season, but some of you have to factor in that Luka and Booker are not playing still. I do like the over 223.5. Okay, Mettler, bring it home here. Michael Porter Jr., what do you like for him?
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr., under 2.5 assists, minus 120. So, I mean, this is someone 2 years ago in the NBA Finals, I was betting over half assists. So 2.5. His assist numbers are better this year, so you got to give him credit there. But you just look over his last 5 games here. He's averaging 3.2 potential assists per game. So, I mean, you're talking about a total of 2.5. With that amount of potential assists, you would have to convert 100% of them. And that's just not really how that works. You usually convert about 50% of those. And then I think the matchup plays really well for this too, because you kind of see him start to get faded a little bit. Like, he's usually, say he's like a 35, 36 minute guy. He's kind of been down in the 30s in some games, maybe like a high 28, 29. And they're kind of opting for a little more Russell Westbrook. And you're playing the Cavs, and you have Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt, and Russell Westbrook is a good defender. So I feel like there's like that path to, if I was coaching, you might want more Russell Westbrook minutes tonight, and you could just take away minutes from Michael Porter Jr. And then also just from like a conversion of his assists. You're talking about he doesn't have many potential assists. The biggest guy who would convert those for you is Nikola Jokic, but Nikola Jokic is going against Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, the rim protection of the Cavs. So again, that's like, that could be harder for Michael Porter Jr. to convert those potential assists to Jokic based on the matchup. So I just feel like the matchup with the Cavs really plays here with this prop and this number. So give me Michael Porter Jr. under 2.5 assists, minus 120.
Okay, John, I didn't mean to cut you off before we got into the picks. We were touching on the Sacramento Kings here and what has been a disappointing season for them. So just 13 and 18, you know, it looked like that was a franchise that was headed in the right direction a couple of years ago. The playoff series with the Warriors, the whole light the beam thing, was a lot of fun. Down season last year, they regressed, and now it looks like they're regressing even more. I think that's a bit of a surprise considering, you know, they added DeMar DeRozan, a pretty solid scoring option for them. And there's talk about, I don't know what the exact language was, but something along the lines of De'Aaron Fox is kind of kicking the tires on potentially making a move here. And I kind of pinpoint the San Antonio Spurs, which would be a good opportunity for them to be like, okay, we got to put our foot on the gas here and partner Wemby with another star. Do you think that would be the number one spot for him? Or is there somebody else that sticks out in your mind for a landing spot for Fox, if indeed he will be on the move?
I think he's going to be on the move. I think they might have messed this up. I think they had a fun thing with Fox Sabonis running the offense, and then they clogged it up by bringing DeMar DeRozan. Now they're trying to save it by putting Malik Monk in the starting lineup, but he was good as a sixth man. I think they just didn't bring in the right pieces here. I do think Fox is going to be traded. I'm sure the Spurs would absolutely love to pair Fox with Wemby, and that would be fun. It does feel like the trade in my mind that might actually work is the Miami Heat have been interested in De'Aaron Fox, and De'Aaron Fox is really close with Bam Adebayo. And it does feel like, couldn't you see like a Jimmy Butler to Phoenix, Bradley Beal to Sacramento, and De'Aaron Fox to Miami, because those contracts kind of all line up. And the wild card would Bradley Beal want to go to Sacramento? I don't know, but I feel like he would enjoy being more of that number one option or like number two option. And I feel like the Kings might lean into a little bit, because I don't think they're ready to just like completely punt on the team they have. So if you bring in Bradley Beal, maybe like it's not working with Fox, but you know, we have Bradley Beal, we have DeRozan, we have Sabonis. So it's like still a fun team. It does feel like Jimmy Butler wants to get to Phoenix. I don't know. That was the trade I was thinking of, but I think the Spurs
could have incredible for the Miami Heat. That would be like, I don't think they want to tear it down by any means, right? And go into a complete rebuild. That would be a fantastic trade. I think most people would take De'Aaron Fox over Jimmy Butler nowadays. If they can upgrade, because we know how it usually works in the NBA, you trade your superstar, you get 18 second-round draft picks back, right? You usually don't get another, you know.
They'd have to give up more than Jimmy Butler. But, like, I think contracts-wise, yeah. I don't know for sure, but I think all guys are pretty much making around $40 million. So that you got to match the salary. So I think that kind of works. But
okay. Some news to me here, John. Been a busy week. I haven't been completely paying too much attention to the ins and out of the workplace. It is your birthday today. I'm seeing some people in the live chat, and I do recall you letting us know that you had a birthday, which was in late December. And the top thing I always think of when I had friends who had their birth, I had a friend whose birthday is on Christmas Day, but my friends whose birthdays were around Christmas is they would get screwed over when it came to presents because their mom or dad would give them a video game and be like, hey, just so you know, this counts as your birthday and your Christmas gifts, right? And sometimes it's hard to get kids to come to your birthday party if it's on the 27th because of stuff that's going on around the holidays. So how has your experience been as a human who has a birthday 2 days after Christmas?
It's been good. I think I always leaned into that. I was just like, you almost, instead of like, I'd take a bigger gift, be like, hey, it's for Christmas and birthday. Like you kind of set it up yourself where it's like, hey, I'll give me a PS2. I don't know, make it for birthday and Christmas, that type of thing where instead of just getting two separate gifts. So I think I kind of took advantage of it a little bit. So yeah. It's kind of just what I've always been used to. And I mean, my parents always did a good job. They always separate like, drastically separated the two and made sure they were separate and had friends over and all those things. So I don't know.
Yeah, the late year birthday, I think as an adult, it is clutch. It is key because when you're a kid, it's about who turns the age first. And that's like a big deal, right? You turn 8 before your buddies do, you know, but when you're an adult, you want to slow down the aging here. So a lot of your friends who are probably in the same birth year as you, you're the last one to turn the age. So good for you. First double gift, Sega Genesis. I was never really a Sega. I had a Sega Dreamcast growing up, actually, but never the Genesis here.
I got it. He taught us his December birthday, too. He said, I got the N64 on the 22nd and had to wait 3 days for the game for Christmas.
That's a pretty good deal, though. Kind of. I mean, the waiting part sucks, but he didn't get burned over at all. So the N64 and then had to wait 3 days for the game. That's not too bad.
I do remember way back, I had a similar situation where I got a PlayStation 2 on Christmas with like Madden. And then on my birthday, because everyone knew I was getting it. I didn't know I was getting it. It was like NBA Live, MLB, NASCAR, all the sports games. I got them all. I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
There you go. That's a pretty good deal. Okay, John, we're going to leave it at that. We will let you get on your way so you can celebrate your birthday with your loved ones there and hopefully have a fun day and hopefully hit some bets here for us as well. So that does it for the Friday edition of the show. Let's recap the picks here. If you guys missed the NFL segment near the top of the show, an asshole parlay for me, Chargers money line, Rams money line, Bucks money line, +138. Broncos, Bengals over 49.5. Colts first half against the Giants -4.5. Packers, Vikings game of the week. Give me over 48.5 for that one. Next up, Jingles. He took Antonio Gibson over 7.5 carries. Breece Hall, anytime touchdown. Jerome Ford over 18.5 receiving yards. Jaden Daniels over 47.5 rushing yards. On to the, do we have NBA ones? Yes, we do. Okay, Grizzlies -9. Mavs Suns over 223.5. The birthday boy went with Cam Johnson under 4.5 assists. Jalen Green over 2.5 assists. And Michael Porter Jr. under 2.5 assists. Of course, the ass man pounding the assist props on his birthday here. So shout out to John on his birthday. Thanks for him for making time for us. And thank you to all the great viewers for tuning in. Big thank you, producer Chris. Mick is off today. Chris's first full show by himself. He did a fantastic job. So shout out to Chris and shout out to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And the biggest shout out of all goes to all the great viewers for tuning in today. We're going to be right back with you guys on Monday go back to pretty much business as usual here next week. We're going to be off Wednesday for New Year's Day, but we're going to have you guys covered for everything. The final week of the NFL regular season, of course, the college football bowl and playoff games, a bunch of NBA as well. So make sure you guys tune in then. Best of luck with your bets this weekend, and we will see you guys again on Monday. Let's go, Grizzlies! Woo!